We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
For those of you that do not know, we got lots of new folks here. This is Cady. Cady, say it.
Noris Caterine Aguirre.
Aguirre. Exactly.
I learned to roll yesterday even more.
Yeah, we ain't going to talk about that. You think you have friends. 15 years ago, there we are. Look how young. Just look at those babies on that screen right there. 15 years ago, I'm pretty sure we're standing in front of about 1,000 or so kids at a big school there in Ecuador, and we are shouting Jesus. We're telling people about Jesus, and this is what it sounded like. Hello, my name is Shannon Moses, and I am from the United States.
Buenos días, mi nombre es Shannon Moses, y yo vengo de los Estados Unidos.
And we are in your country telling everybody we can about Jesus.
Y estamos en tu país a contarte acerca de Jesucristo.
And that's exactly what it sounded like all the way back then. It's absolutely crazy. We as a church, Chapel Hill Baptist Church, we support One Heart Global Ministries, the ministry that she has. I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the service, but she was up. Had an opportunity this past weekend, went over to Charlotte. She celebrated 15 years with One Heart Global Ministry. We're excited about that. I was blessed to be able to go and share my heart about One Heart and what God is doing. But I wanted her to come by this weekend and just give us sort of a ministry update and let y'all know where we are. I go ahead and say many of you around this room support her. Thank you. We'll talk a little that more at the end. For those of you that don't and want to know more about it, we'll talk about that later. But I appreciate so very much those of you that are supporting the ministry that she's doing, because God is working in some powerful, powerful ways. So, Cady, tell us a little bit about what is going on in Ecuador.
Buenos días, hermanos y hermanas. Good morning, my church family. Every time I come here, the smiles, the hugs, and the hospitality that you show me really bring much to my heart, knowing that there is a church family praying for your missionaries. As you will see the images there, what the Lord is helping us grow in there. This year, we are building two new churches, that one that is going to be presented this November. And then also, there was an abandoned building just a few months ago, and the leader of the community gathered their whole community, and they said, y'all, we need God. Our church has been abandoned. It's been shut down totally for the last 2 years, and families are not going to church. And the leader of the community, who was not a believer, he called us and did an assembly with the whole community, and they say, we want to give you this church because my people need Jesus. They need Jesus. So one of our students, Brother Alfonso, we commissioned him, and Pastor Aurelio and Pastor Ricardo prayed over him, and now he's the pastor of this new place there. So our goal for this twin, we have made a 5-year goal, because the Lord has blessed us with our Bible Institute and the way how we are discipling our people. We go from first encounter of giving them a pair of shoes, a pair of boots, and we tell them the love of Jesus Christ right there in action, and then we go to their homes and disciple them and follow up. Then we bring them to our Bible Institute and train them, and because of that, we believe that by 2030 we're going to be planting 100 churches. We're at 58 right now, and we believe by the glory of God and with His faithfulness. And I wanted to share with you what the Lord has been resounding in my heart when I think about all of this. I remember Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul calls this a mystery, that the Gentiles are loved and that Christ now lives in us. And how it looks in our lives? It looks like people who give, who serve, and who love others the way Jesus does. I've seen Christ in missionaries that come. I've seen Christ in you. I see Christ when we go to these children and they receive a pair of boots and a supply. And I see Christ when there are families that are forgotten, an entire community that don't know about that Jesus is alive. Yes, we grew up that there was a God, but he was hung on the cross and that's all we knew. There is thousands of villages where the Lord has sent me up in the mountain. Just as we were singing, we need to speak Jesus. And then there is thousands of villages that have never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord called me from so early in my life and called me all the way to the mountains to speak Jesus. There are thousands that are making that decision of following Christ. And you are part of this dream. You are part of this commissioning. And that's what I wanted to come and say thank you for praying. Pastor, your pastor did amazing last week as he came to this event. First time we ever do an event there in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he came and passionate shared Jesus. And he also shared how God is using One Heart Global Ministries. So thank you for driving for so many hours back and forth in one day to share about what God is doing. When I was called, when I was 15 years old, when my life changed from darkness, from not having a family to love me, from being an orphan, he called me to be an orphan no more, but have a family. I have a mother that adopted me. I have a family that serves with me in the mission field. And as you can see those images, we're up there with the indigenous Quechuas who didn't know Christ, and now they're getting to know him. They need hope. Jesus is the hope of glory. The Gentiles need Jesus, and we all need Jesus. You, my brothers and sisters, are being part of that revival that is happening every day. That's the true revival. When you see a family converted to Christ, when you see a family that is lost and they say, I want to follow Jesus, and they call me and they said, can you send a leader? Can you come here? And Pastor Aurelio, Pastor Ricardo, and all these families that support our ministry, we go on a regular basis, and we show Jesus in love. And also in action. When medical teams come, dental teams come, when people like you come and I say, how can I serve? When pastor said, I want to send my son for a few weeks to serve you, we take him. We need the hands and feet. And you can be those by praying, by supporting us, and by sending. I wait for you there, my family in Christ. And if I'm not here, I know I'll be with Jesus. But thank you so much, Pastor, for being a faithful church that support us, a faithful church that pray for us, and you always welcome me. Thank you for the Brown family for your hospitality and love. And I tell you, before I was given the t-shirt, this time I was given the real true colors of being in a big stadium I've never been in my life. And so that makes a difference, Pastor. I went and was given the difference. So I love you, and thank you.
Amen. Keep that. All right, y'all. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Everybody reach out. Reach out. Reach out. She's working. She goes back here. When do you head back?
I fly back this Tuesday, tomorrow to North Carolina to get my luggage, and then on Tuesday back to Ecuador.
Back to Ecuador. So she goes back down and hits the streets again. So let's pray for the ministry. Father God, we, as the body of Christ, come before you in the name of Jesus for Kati, for the missionaries down there, for all the pastors, for the churches, God, for the Quechua people group. God, we thank you for the work that has been done, and Lord, we look forward as you continue to work in and through her. God, give her the health she needs, the strength, the guidance, Lord. Take care of the entire team, the entire army that's there around her. Lord, we pray that you would continue to send volunteers, continue to send helpers, continue to send, Lord, the workers that she needs in the time that she needs them, Lord. Continue to provide financially, God, as the work is endless, God. The villages, they are just over every hill. You top a hill and there's more and more and more and more, and every single one of them need to hear about you. God, please, in Christ's name, bless this ministry. And Lord, I also say this, bless all the ministries like hers that are all over this world, taking the name of Jesus, taking the good news of the gospel to a lost and dying world. Because God, they can be good, but if they die without Jesus, they enter into a devil's hell. Lord God, please, bless the missionaries, bless the work. God, bless them indeed. And we're going to give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cotty. Appreciate y'all. Y'all give her a hand. Thank you so much. Oh, me and her, again, it was a long time ago that we started down there. And she was just, actually, she was a translator because our team needed lots of translators. She was just a translator. She was also working, starting out the One Heart and sort of infancy stage. And over the years, we've just watched it evolve from a potato patch, literally a potato patch. Back in the day, we prayed over a potato patch. We prayed over grass fields. We prayed over so many different places that are now ministry centers and churches. And there is just so much that has gone on. And again, I know there are other missionaries just like this in other countries doing very similar work. They are ministering, they are being the hands and the feet of Jesus right there where they are. But the beauty of it is, we get the opportunity to support this one. We do with the cooperative program. We do with through the state. We do with through our association. We do in lots of little different things. But the beauty of it is we get to actually help and support and see and watch it continue to go. So I'm excited about that. This morning, if you've got your Bibles, look with me in the time that we have. Ephesians chapter 2. I knew she was coming this week. And here's what I don't want you to hear this morning. I don't want you to hear anything about Ecuador. I don't want you to hear about missions. I want you to hear about you being obedient to the hands, to be the hands and feet of Jesus right where you are. Whether you go somewhere, whether you're on a bus trip to Maine or on a trip, wherever you are, whether you're at a ball game or let me tell you this. You think my Hamilton was at the ball game yesterday. We need to be bold like this. My Hamilton was at the game, and the best I can tell, he was the only orange Auburn Tiger fan in the entire, that stadium that you were in. He was bold, and he come home last night, and I'm like, how was it? He said, it was rough. But guys, here's the thing. That's what we need to be in the real world about things that really, really matter. We need to stand out, honestly, like he did in the student section yesterday at the Alabama game. I'm like, you could have wore black. He said, then I'd have been Vanderbilt. I'm an Auburn fan. I mean, we need to be bold, church. And here's why. Listen to this. God saved you. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Look at verse 9. Not as a result of works. We don't work for our salvation. Doing good and serving and even being bold doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. It's not by works so that no one could boast. If you could do anything to save yourself, I want you to hear this. If you could do anything to save yourself, you could brag. You could stand up and say, look at what I did, but you can't do anything. Guys, that should scare us to death. Those of us who've never trusted Jesus, that should scare you to death to think that there is nothing in your power. You can't be good enough. You could go down there and pull every bad tooth and give medicine to every person, feed every hungry kid all over the world, and you're still not good enough. You're still a sinner. Only Jesus saves. And here's the deal. Once he saves you, for those of you in this room that is a Christian, once he saves you, look at verse 10, you're his workmanship. God created you for something great. And here's the deal. We're not talking greatness to go be the owner of some company or just find some cure for some earthly disease. No, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What are the good works? It's God works. It's a Holy Spirit work. It's being the hands and feet of Jesus. And here's the thing. God has prepared them beforehand. God already knew. He knows your tomorrow, and you just simply walk in them, prepared you for good works that God's prepared beforehand, that we just go walk out in them. We go be sensitive to the needs. You and I are the most sensitive people out there on planet Earth. We're sensitive to needs that nobody else sees. We're sensitive to stuff that the rest of the world turns a blind eye to. And you know what I'm talking about. Because the Spirit of God moves on you. And you serve in ways that the world may never know. You serve in ways that social media won't give you a thumbs up to and won't give you a like and won't give you a heart, but God sees it. The Spirit of God created you for a purpose to do good things. He didn't save you because you were good. He saved you to go do good things, to be His army. Right here on this earth, you are in the army of God, and God is doing amazing work in and through you. We just got to be sensitive to His leading. We cannot get caught up in what everybody else is doing. We do got to go against the crowd. We do got to look different, dress different, act different, think different. We are different. You know what? Here's the thing. You just are different. As a Christian, you are different now. All things are new in Christ. You're new in Christ. You can't, if all the crowd, if the stadium is emptying out and all 100-something thousand are walking this way, then we are running contra flow. We don't run with the crowd. We've been saved by grace. We see things differently. Our spirit is different. You're not like the rest. You're not like everybody else. You're different. You see things the world don't see. You're God's instrument. Look over with me, Matthew 25. Matthew 25 seems like every time I talk missions, I go here. Seems like every time I think about being the hands and feet of Jesus, I go here. Y'all, this is at the very end judgment. This is when it's all said and done. And you said, well, how, what will it look like? Just listen to the end of Ecclesiastes. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God, keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. Listen, for God will bring every act to judgment. Every action will be judged, whether good or evil. Whether good or evil. Everything we do not live. We, just like last week, God doesn't disappear and God doesn't go on vacation. Your shepherd, He doesn't fall off and we don't fall in a black hole. He's watching His children. God sees us. Every act will be judged. Over in Matthew chapter 25, this is the very end. This is when the judgment happens. This is when the shepherd comes back and divides the sheep and the goats. You're a sheep if you're a Christian. If you're a believer, you're a sheep. You think different. You act different. You're sensitive to different. Yeah, but nobody else is caring. That doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Nobody else is giving. It doesn't matter about that. Nobody else is helping. Nobody else is praying. Nobody else is serving. That is the line. Nobody else is. But if the Spirit of God inside of you is saying, hey, you see her. You see him. You see that over there. You see that group over there. God puts you there for a purpose, and you may be the only one. Listen, in 100,000 people, you may be the only one wearing orange. In 100,000 people, you may be the only one that sees the person on the corner in need. In 100,000 people, everybody else, the path is going. Everybody's going that way. You may be the only one that's sitting there seeing the need. And that's because God saved you and you're His workmanship, created for good works, to just go walk in it. Jesus here, shepherd comes back. It's all said and done, 31. But when the Son of Man, Matthew chapter 25, listen to this. Guys, this is what it's about. This is when we do. This is when we serve. This is when we see what He's put in front of us. This is when we're sensitive to what He has right there in front of us. When we allow ourselves, when you allow yourself to be His hands and His feet. I'm not talking about just on a special trip or just when you're on mission. If you wake up tomorrow, you're on mission. If you're giving life tomorrow, you're on mission. Verse 31, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, and he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he'll put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Notice this, then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And in your book were all written for me the days when as yet there was not one of them. You're not an accident. This isn't an accident. Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan for you and I to go and just work it, to go and live it, to go and be it, to go and surrender our lives and to walk in obedience to him. Look at this. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry. Listen, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. When all the crowd didn't see it, you fed me. You fed me. And I was thirsty, and guess what? You gave me something to drink. God saw it. When you gave them something to drink, God saw that. Seemed insignificant at the moment, but God saw it. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Which one of them was you? All I did was just fed who I saw. Which one of them was you? And feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink. And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And listen, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of these, you did it to me. God sees what you're doing. You're not doing to earn salvation. You're doing because you're saved. You're not serving to earn points. You're serving because you're blessed of God to be his instrument at the very moment. When the rest of the world turns a blind eye and the Spirit of God inside of you just shows you a need and you meet it. Under the watchful eyes of God Almighty only. Nobody, listen to this, nobody sees the check written. Nobody sees the car rides given. Nobody sees the meals delivered. Nobody sees the cards written. But God does. You see? Why do you feed them? The Bible says every time you feed them, you're feeding him. Bible says every time the Spirit of God moves on you and you act in obedience, you're doing it for him. Yeah, but Brother Shannon, nobody else is wearing orange in a sea of red. You're different. God saved you to be his hands and feet right then. Look at the other group. Here's the deal. The other group don't see what you see. The other group don't see like you see. They don't feel like what you feel. They don't have the Spirit of God inside of them. There are so many billions and trillions around the world of dollars that are written and given to philanthropic, whatever it's called, to save lizards and frogs and trees and useless things. Doesn't have a soul. But you see souls. Curing cancer. That'd be great. But think about it. Keep mama out of heaven that much longer? Or keeping people out of hell for just a few more days? You cure cancer, you cure the diseases, you do all of that, and it's like, wow, what are you doing? Eternity is real. People that don't have Jesus don't see what you see. And he says it here. Then he'll also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for people. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But those who rejected Christ get to go there as well. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then listen to this. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry? If I'd have known it was you, I'd have done something. Which one was you? When did I see you hungry? I didn't see nobody hungry. Or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? I didn't see all those needs. Because I was just in a sea of humanity, walking in a direction, walking on a path, blinded to the truth, blinded to you, blinded to because your spirit wasn't in me. Lost people don't see the needs you see. They don't have the Spirit of God living inside of them that you have. People that's lost don't see true need. They don't see true hunger. The most important hunger is the need for Christ. They don't see need like you see. They don't have the sensitivity that you have. They don't have it. You say, Brother Shannon, I don't see nobody. Work out your fast salvation with fear and trembling. Then he'll answer them and say, truly, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. When God gives you those spiritual eyes to see, And the Spirit of God is saying, hey, you, do you see that? Serve there, minister there, love there, help there, feed there, clothe there, work there, do that. Be that. If the Spirit of God is saying, that's God laying it on your heart. Lost people don't have that. Lost people don't have that. Lost people, they just go with the crowd. Me, 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 me. I'm hungry, I eat. I'm thirsty, I drink. I'm naked, I clothe. I'm sick, I go get well. Me, the center of the world. Me, 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 me. If I'd have known it was you, I'd have done something. I'd have done something important if I'd have known it was you. Christian, you're not like that. You're sensitive to the leading and the moving of the Spirit of God in your life. And you allow him to lead. Because you're his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he already planned. And we just wake up every single day of our lives. We as Christians wake up every single day of our lives and put on whatever color you choose to wear while the rest of the world wears something totally different. And we walk against the grain. Surrender, y'all. Be sensitive. The world will never see what you do. The world will never give you the attaboy. Your flesh, our flesh wants to, well, if nobody's going to notice, I'm not going to do it. We're in a culture today that We're not as bad as we used to be, but do something good and it's still there. Remember when this thing first started, every time we went to the bathroom or washed clothes. Washed another load of clothes today. Remember when we was practicing? Go back to 2008 and 2009 on Facebook and look at the junk you said. Wash some clothes again. We laugh, but do something good and don't mention it. Yeah, but I need the world to know I stood here and I done this and I fed them and I done this and I handed him and I loved on him and I served him. Picked up somebody today, blessed somebody today, was used by God today, ministered to people today. Guess what? You got it. We don't do it for that. God sees. That's what matters. God sees the heart. God sees the heart. That's all that matters. Father God, Lord, when everybody is going in one direction, when everybody is walking that way, when everybody is seems like the entire crowd is all wearing the same and dressing the same and everybody else is doing the same and acting the same, God, but we're not the same. We've been bought with a price. We've been saved. Jesus, you died for us. We've trusted you. We've surrendered our lives to you. We are not like the rest. We're not like those who have no hope. We are not like those who have no Savior. We are not like those who have not been redeemed, God. We are not better than. We are just forgiven. God, we're your children. God, use this army. Use this army, God, in a powerful way. Use this army, God, in a powerful way, in the secret ways, in the unnoticed ways, all over this county, all in these businesses, all in these schools, all in these areas, all in this place. God, use us. Send us out, Lord, as your instruments. Not for the applause of men, not to be noticed by others, but God, simply to walk in obedience to you. God, and the world may never know, but you do. The world may never see it, but you do. God, that's all that matters. God, we live for an audience of one. God, because it was you who died on the cross for all of us. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Thank you for saving me. You are my only hope. Use me, Lord, for your glory. I'm going to give you praise in Jesus' name.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.